Anybody who has lost someone, anyone who's experiencing cancer, going through the various treatments that are available, will empathise with our first story today. It's an interview with a very brave lady who's made a considered decision. She must have thought long and hard about this, and she decided she would not go the chemical route, if I can put it that way, would not have chemotherapy after being diagnosed with ovarian cancer, which is sometimes termed the silent killer. Let's hope in this particular case that that doesn't eventuate. I really do. Her name is Gemma Bond, and she was pressured to have chemotherapy, as most people are. The doctors, the professionals said that's the way to go. She and her daughter have now written a blog. They want to encourage other people to come forward. And I can tell you lots and lots of people have, after shedding quite a few tears reading their story in the Sunday Times magazine, STM, on the weekend. Gemma, welcome to the program.
Oh, welcome, Howard. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
And how are you today?
I'm well. It's actually been a really busy day. My daughter and I, after the blog was printed in the STM on Sunday, we actually braced ourselves for it. We thought would be a lot of negative feedback, and we have both been overwhelmed with lots and lots of sad but stories of people who'd gone down the chemical road and it hadn't worked, and lots of people who embraced our story and wanted to find out more.
Why did you decide to go public with it? I mean, it's the most personal thing anyone can imagine.
It is, but I just feel so passionate about it. I feel in so many ways we've been hoodwinked, that we haven't really been told the full story of what's out there.
Right.
When we go to a doctor and we're told we have cancer, we're pretty much given two options, or three: surgery, chemotherapy, radiation.
Mm.
And if you think about that, it's cutting, it's poisoning, and it's burning.
Mm.
How can those three things really be the only answer to cure something as serious as cancer?
We're going to come to your particular path in a moment. Mm-hmm. Have you had a family experience that led you away from chemotherapy?
Yes. When my brother was in his 30s, he was diagnosed with leukemia, and he went down the chemotherapy path. I mean, at that stage, we just really didn't know much else. I was really quite young. And I just watched what he went through, and I did make a vow to myself that I would never take that path. And consequently, since then, I've seen many people, close friends, go down the same path and die.
Mm, terrible deaths.
Mm.
A lot of suffering in beforehand. So when you were diagnosed, what sort of pressure came upon you to do the same thing?
Well, it was interesting because when I went to my doctor...
How long ago was that, by the way?
It was March this year.
And what was the prognosis?
I was told that I had ovarian and uterine cancer, so it was in my ovary and my uterus. And my oncologist came to me at 10:30 at night after I'd had the operation. I chose to have a hysterectomy.
Yep.
You know, I'd had four children. I thought, okay, I will do the surgery.
Nothing to lose there.
Having done that, though, I've read a lot, and maybe there was. But anyway,
no
point looking back, always looking forward. And he came and said to me, it's a really very, very nasty cancer, and you have to think long and hard about the path you're choosing. So I did feel it was a very, very stressful time, but to be honest, I didn't waver, although it was stressful.
Did he know at that stage you weren't going to try chemo?
Yes, because when I first saw my GP, when she diagnosed me, the first words that came out of my mouth was, I won't be having chemo. And my GP looked at me and she said, then you are going to have to be strong, and you're going to have to stand your ground, because you will come under a lot of pressure.
Good of her to say that.
Yeah, I thought that too. She's a great
doctor. Very supportive, yeah, very supportive.
Yeah, and I remembered her words, and to be honest, I can remember just crumbling in my oncologist's surgery, just overwhelmed by all that he was telling me. But I just knew that it just wasn't really going to be an option. but that I had to think very hard about what I was going to do. And that's where my daughter, who writes, is a journalist who lives in London, and she writes a lot for healthy magazines, and she's very much into health. And she was just brilliant at looking up things on the computer and finding things and interviewing health experts all over the world. So it really was a godsend that I had her to help me through.
Well, apart from you, she's got most to lose, hasn't she? If you don't choose the right route. Now, did she in any way suggest chemo? Has she been fully supportive, 100% supportive of what you've decided?
My entire family's been 100%. I've got four children, and they know how much I've been into health. To be honest, but that's why it was a bit of a shock when I got cancer. I thought, oh, hang on, I've always done the right things, but, you know, that's what happens. And so they really didn't. My family never pressured me because they know what I'm like. And I said to them straight away, this is not ever going to be an option. And I said that to my doctor. So it hasn't been, and it never will be.
Some people who have either tried or been encouraged to take the natural route, their close relatives have gotten into trouble. Peter Dingle's the classic example. And you're ready for that, or are your family ready for that?
Oh, I got that all the time. That was what people said to me over and over again. Don't end up like Peter Dingle's wife. I find it really strange. You know, 75% of people that have chemo, it fails with them. Why is it that we hone in on that and we say it's okay when they die? It's not okay, but we don't make the doctors that treated them accountable. But if someone takes the alternative route and they die, the doctors are quacks, they're charlatans, they're hurled before the courts, they might lose their licenses. I don't get it, because often people that go to the alternative doctors, it's because the conventional route has not worked and they're at their last stages, and by that stage they'll try anything.
Right, you're not at your last stage, it's far from it, we know that. So what route have you chosen? What are you taking?
Oh, what aren't I taking? But I'd have to say,
a few vitamins here and there?
Yeah, lots of supplements, some of them I think are just brilliant. It's a bit of trial and error. I've tried to use intuitively what I think. There's something called, I have vitamin C infusions. I have something called ozone therapy. I mean, all these things are on my daughter's blog, if anyone is really interested, where she goes into it in great detail. But I will say something, Howard. I do think that people have to address the emotional side of their cancer.
Yeah.
I think it's an all-round thing. And when I hear people saying, I'm going to have chemo, I'm going to have my radiation, and then I'm just going to get back to how life was before, I'm just gobsmacked. I think that the life you had before you got cancer, so maybe you need to try and change something else about your life.
How are you coping then? Any pain?
No pain at all. I've just done an hour's yoga this morning and walked the dogs for an hour.
There you go. That might be the solution.
Yeah, I was doing that before. But I have changed my attitude to life, though. I try to be so much more grateful than I was before, because I had been given a very nice life, and sometimes, you know, I had a pretty negative attitude towards life. So I've tried to change the way I look at life.
So you don't reckon you've gone downhill at all since the diagnosis?
I'm saying this with absolute honesty. I have never felt better.
Wow.
I did give up dairy completely, and I loved dairy.
Why'd you give up dairy?
Because I was told by so many of the experts that my daughter interviewed that ovarian, uterine, breast cancer do much, much better without dairy.
Okay.
And so that was a very big thing for me because I really miss it. But I feel so much better not having it.
Meditation, that part of it?
Yes, that's very big for lots of people. It doesn't work so well for me, so I don't do that, but, you know.
You're a bit hyper for that, eh?
A little bit hyper for that, but I do try. I mean, you know, I must admit I've said quite a few more prayers since I got cancer. But I think there's a lot of things that people have to look at. Some of the biggest alternative clinics for cancer in Germany and Switzerland will not take anyone who's got root canals or amalgam fillings.
Mm.
And, I mean, people don't look at those sort of things. They won't treat you until you have those taken out.
Goodness.
So, you know, there's so much there that we need to
address. Is there a risk? I mean, you're pretty well educated and you're pretty savvy. Is there a risk that some people who go the alternative route will fall into the hands of charlatans?
Well, it depends, I suppose, what you call a charlatan.
Well, someone who's just having a lend of you and has come up with some weird and wonderful thing that accounts and does nothing to sort of contain it, I suppose. I mean, your daughter's done a lot of research, so obviously that helps.
Yeah, but
she's weeded them out is really what I'm trying to say.
But we could look at it this way. Someone I know was diagnosed with cancer 2 weeks before me, and they had endless chemotherapy, and the cancer's come back in their bones and their lungs. So would you call that working?
No, I wouldn't. And also say they've been through hell for all the time since they've been diagnosed. For what?
Yeah, and my daughter's had endless emails with stories like that. People who have had to have all their teeth taken out before they could have the treatment. It went on and on and on. I mean, Richard Nixon back in the 70s said, while he was, you know, the president, he was going to find a cure for cancer. Well, that was the 70s. What's happened?
Still waiting, yeah. What about stress? Have you taken stress as much as you can out of your life?
That's really, really hard, and I work on that every day, every single day. But, yeah, that's probably the biggest stumbling block for me, and that's what I'm going to try. That's what I'm really working at, because I believe if I can work with that one, I will keep my cancer at bay or away.
Mm.
I mean, my last check, the oncologist said to me he didn't want to see me for another 6 months because I had healed amazingly. Interestingly enough, he never asked me what I did, though. He wasn't interested.
No. They're well inside the square. Mm. And later on in the program, we're going to be talking to a lady who's having both breasts removed because the genes in her family suggest that she's an 80% chance of getting breast cancer. What do you think about that for a dramatic reaction to cancer?
Oh, look, I don't want to really comment on someone else's journey because it's really their journey. If I had my time again, maybe I wouldn't have surgery. Perhaps what we need to look into and see, does surgery really enhance your lifespan? Many, many studies would say it doesn't.
Yep.
I know a girl who had her breast removed and she still managed to get cancer. We know many people that have mastectomies and get the cancer back. So is surgery the answer? I'm not sure.
Yeah. All right. Wish you well. Your daughter's done you proud with the story she's written, and we should tell people the blog site is mumsnothavingchemo.com. Is that right?
Yeah, www.mumsnothavingchemo.com. That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you for allowing me to speak on your program, Howard.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for making yourself available, Gemma. We wish you well. Stay in touch.
Thank you. Bye.
All the best, Gemma Bond. She has been pressured, like most people are, to go the traditional chemotherapy radiation route, and she's decided not to. She's going to go the natural route. Who's right, who's wrong? Do you have any experiences you'd like to relate to us? 9-22-11-882. All I can say is I've had close family go the traditional route, and I wish to heck they hadn't.